Blog Talk Radio.
Ephesians 2.
And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Amen, amen, and amen. Good evening. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you to our program this evening. Today is Monday, April the 30th, 2018. Again, we'd like to thank you. We're going to open with prayer, and we're going to get right into the conversation today. We're going to talk a little bit about part two of what we were talking about earlier in an earlier program about what the gospel is, the plain, unadulterated gospel. The gospel, what the word of God says, and what the gospel's purpose is, and why God made a way to reconcile all mankind back to himself. Now, particularly going to reach out and encourage those non-Christians or unbelievers. Because we know the church, a lot of people have preconceived then what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a believer, what it means to be saved, what salvation is. So I just wanted to go through and hopefully encourage you. I always encourage you to be able to go to a church, go to a Bible study, or get a Bible for yourself and read the Word and let God speak to you for understanding. Because every man's going to stand before God. It doesn't really matter what church you go to, who your pastor is or was, or when you stand before God and a judge for the life that you lived, either you're going to choose him or you're not. There's only two people in this world that we concern ourselves with, the Christian and the non-Christian. And the non-Christian, we love you so much that we want to share the gospel. But the choice is always yours. Amen? So, Father, we say thank you today. Lord Jesus, thank you, God. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you, Jesus, for hanging on the cross, shedding your blood, because you loved us so much, God. You went to the cross that our souls may be redeemed back into the Father. God, Lord God, I pray today, oh God, that someone, we hear this program, hear this conversation today, and their hearts will be pricked, their hearts, their minds will be changed. They would seek and seek to understand, seek to know that the word that they would say, what must I do to be saved? And that your word, oh God, will be able to answer their questions. Father, continue to bless, watch over our families, watch over all those in the body of Christ, those who are being persecuted all over the world. And we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, I got a couple of announcements, some of the things going on. First of all, I encourage all the brothers out there who are listening to go to the Issues Christian Men's Facebook page. And we started to post some recommended readings, some readings from some of the brothers shared, put out a post earlier today asking for brothers to share some of the books that they have completed reading or are reading for this so far for this year, 2018. Because as men of God, we have to always be able to study to show ourselves approved and gain our knowledge and gain our understanding and go to bona fide and help us to grow as men, grow as leaders, grow as husbands and fathers in this Christian walk. And sometimes we have to put down and cut off TV and electronics and read a word, study the word. And there's some very good Christian authors out there. Men that are writing books on leadership, on spiritual warfare, on the temptations that we all face. So if you go to the Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page there, you'll start to see the posting and the list of some of the books that are recommended by some of the brothers that we're connected with. Amen. Also, I'm going to give a shout out to the Jesus Lives Family Ministry and Fellowship, Pastor George Sharps and First Lady Tanya Sharps. We had a marriage retreat this past weekend. It was a blessed time. We had over 30 couples there, and hopefully we encouraged, we touched and agreed, and we laughed, and we prayed. And also some couples, you know, had opportunity to take some time and just spend it with each other to build marriages, to strengthen marriages. And also we pray for those marriages that we are standing in the gap for, those coming behind us, those generations of young marriages, those, you know, 1 year, 5 year, 10 year marriages who may be struggling. So we pray for them. We encourage folks to reach back, to continue to seek and try and encourage those marriages around you in your church, in your community. And it was a blessed time. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Pastor Sharps and First Lady Sharps and Jesus Lives Family Ministry. Also, for my brothers that are here locally in the D.C., Baltimore area, we're going bowling. The men are gathering on May the 5th at 2 p.m. at the Greenway Bowling Alley in Odington, Maryland. If you could reach out to me, inbox me if you don't know where the address is. Inbox me on the Facebook page or send me a tweet on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk, and I'll get you the address. But that's on Saturday, May the 5th at 2 p.m. at the Greenway Bowling Alley. The brothers are gathering there. We're going to have some fun. We've got some food. We're going to bowl a little bit and see what kind of skills we have. Amen? And the cost of that is going to be $15. And I believe that's going to cover your shoes, games, and also I think some wings or something like that. Well, it's going to have food, but I'm looking for the wings. I don't do a lot of pizza. But anyway, $15 per man. And we're going to spend some time. And we're starting at 2 p.m. on Saturday, May the 5th. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight, we're going to continue talking again about the gospel, what the gospel is. You know, I posted it as this is the gospel, straight, no chaser, the word of God. The word of God is what's going to prick through his heart. It's the word of God that's going to build your faith. It's the word of God that's going to correct you, guide you. Because the word of God, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, the King James Version, the NIV, NLT, the scriptures, I mean, these translations are good for the foot of your growth and to read, understand, and know what the word of God is saying, what God has done for us, and what God expects of us. Because our salvation is based on obedience to his word. And to know when we're being in and understand the teaching. It's just like anything else. The reason we go to church, the reason we have services, talk a lot about why folk go to churches, but it's not about the music. It's about the word. And it's the word that's going to change lives. The worship and the praise, that plays a part in your salvation, but that's not going to save you. It's the word of God that's going to save you. It's going to keep you. And the only way we can know who the Holy Spirit is, who Jesus is, and who God is, through the reading and understanding of his word. So I encourage you. I'm going to give a lot of scriptures here. We're going to touch on a couple of points. And if you don't have a paper or pencil, you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconFarr. Hear the rebroadcast. We archive all our shows. And you can come back with paper and pencil and get some of the scriptures. And just study the word for yourself. again, like I said at the beginning, we all, every man, woman, and child, we're going to stand before God, we're going to stand before the Lord, and be judged for our life and the choices we made as Christians and non-Christians. You may not believe in God, you may not believe in Jesus, but that doesn't mean he's not real just because you don't believe. Amen? Amen. So we're giving you this opportunity for understanding. You can always call in at 646-668-2636. Press one on your keypad. You can ask questions, share your insights and wisdom. You can also, again, go to www.blogtalkradio.com/. You can follow if you're listening online. You can call in and join the conversation, ask any questions. Amen? Well, let me open with this. The pure gospel. The unadulterated gospel. And we talk about the God of the Bible. The God of the canon of the 66 books of the Bible and what they teach and what Christianity is based on. Amen? We're talking about the God who made everything out of nothing, including you and me. His main purpose in creation was to bring him pleasure. The chief way in which we as humanity do this is through love, loving, obeying, and enjoying him perfectly. Instead of this, we have sinned against our loving Creator and acted in high-handed rebellion. The sin started with Adam, and it is in all human beings. You know, the sin of Adam affects all human beings after him. All creation, all human beings are born into sin because of sin, or held in rebellion against God because of Adam. God has vowed that he will righteously and lovingly judge sinners with eternal death. But God, being merciful, loving, gracious, and just, sent his own Son, Jesus Christ, in the likeness of man, to live as a man, fulfilling his perfect requirements in the place of sinners, loving, obeying, and enjoying him perfectly. And further, his Son bore the eternal judgment of God upon the cross of Calvary, as he satisfied the eternal anger of God. Standing in the place of sinners, God treated Jesus as a sinner, though he was perfect and sinless, that he might declare sinners perfect. Understand, our salvation is based on saving us from God's wrath, God's love, and with perfect love comes wrath for disobedience. And that's what Scripture teaches. If we look in the Old Testament, it talks about when Israel, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel were obedient and disobedient of God, and they were punished for it. But now we're living in a time of grace where God is going to judge the whole earth and all of mankind at one time at Christ's second coming. Amen? This glorious transition occurred as sinners put their faith and dependence and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their substitute. If God put him as a substitute, and he paid the price for us all. God then charges Christ's perfection to the sinner and no longer views him as an enemy, but instead our adopted son covered in the perfect righteousness of his son. God furnished proof that his sacrifice was accepted by raising Jesus from the dead. Powerful that because God first punished, put all the sin of all mankind and all the world, every human being, on Christ, and accepted his sacrificial death. Because that's what Christianity is about. It's about that Jesus came as a perfect man, lived a perfect life in obedience to God, and God took, because of that perfection, his own son. He put the wrath that me and you and I deserve and put it on that one man, Jesus Christ. And because he accepted the sacrifice that Jesus made willingly, when he went into the cross, being beaten and killed, he rose him from the dead. God will judge the world in righteousness and all of those who are not covered in the righteousness of Christ, depending on him for forgiveness, will be forced to stand on their own and bear the eternal anger of God. Therefore, all must turn from sin and receive Jesus Christ as Lord. That is the gospel. I know we go to church, we hear a lot of teaching, we hear theologians, but that basically is the gospel. I just wanted to get that out there for a clear and simplistic understanding. There's deeper teachings we all can go into. I know my brothers out there, my theologians, and my folk have been in church a long time. There is a lot of teaching because the Word of God is so deep and it has so much in it that we can always study it to learn more and get greater understanding. But tonight, I just wanted to touch on the simplicity of it all. For those who may not believe, for those who don't attend church and attend Bible studies, that if they hear this, that God can open, that their hearts can be open and receive. You know, the church, there's a purpose for the church. You know, recently I was in a conversation with some folk about what the church and the politics of the church and the government, and they call it organized religion. You know, it's funny to me when people say that, but they have an expectation that the church is only made up of human beings, men and women, human beings with faults. Because the people who think that, they think the church is supposed to be perfect, which it is not, because we are not perfect. But yet we're striving for something, and we believe in something. And you, if you claim to be a Christian, you should want to hang around people who think like you. Now, the church government thing and how churches are organized, and I know. There's a lot of bootleg, there's a lot of false prophets, there's a lot of things that go on in church. But where else in human society and human culture is not corruption and wrongdoing? Because, again, we're sinners, saved by grace. And unless we're obedient to Christ, obedient to God, and obedient to his word, and we get into our own thing, thinking that we are smart enough or we know enough, and we try to do things that are disagreeing to God, you're right, these things are going to happen. It happened throughout all of history, so it's nothing new. But how do you know? Because first of all, for those who, you know, I always say for folk, we talk about they don't want to go to church because church people are this and church people are that. But then what are you? Because it's easy to criticize and look at someone else. You think, because we all have a perception of what it means to be a Christian. Even when I was unsaved, we have perception of what it means to be Christians, how they should act. We're ready to tell other folk how they should act, but then we don't look at our lives, because we're going to be judged by our lives. And that's the thing I do want to get across to the unbeliever, to the non-Christian. You're going to be judged by how you live and the choices you've made, not how you think the church is, what the church is not doing or isn't doing or should be doing. That's not what God is looking at. God is looking for a changed heart. He's looking for obedience. He's looking for faithfulness. He's looking for those who will come to him by faith and believe and accept that righteousness and understand and have a knowledge of God and who he is and live a life accordingly. We're not called to be perfect, but we're called to mature and grow and let God use our lives to edify the body of Christ and glorify him. Amen? So I'm going to touch on a few things tonight to encourage the unbeliever, the non-believer, and the non-Christian. I talked about a little bit, but I'm going to take a step back here. We need to understand that God, that because of God, through Jesus Christ's death. But wait, let me back up one. That he gave Jesus Christ as a substitute. I talked about that earlier, but I'm going to give you a scripture here. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. But always, again, I take you back to scripture. Because you hear me preach, you hear other people preach, you listen to some good teachers and pastors, but again, you have to be able to go to the Word of God yourself and understand what your faith is. Because every man is going to stand before God. You have to know what you believe and why you believe it. And it's through the study and understanding of the Word of God. So I'm going, first of all, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 21. Well, we'll start at 20. And the Word of God says, "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Amen? God provided a substitute. He paid the price. He took the sin of our disobedience and paid the price for the wrath of God. And now if we accept by faith what God has done for us, that we are saved from his wrath, coming at the end times or coming at our death. Amen? So we know through his death, we are saved. Let's go to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. Again, if you have a Bible, paper, pencil, you want to go back and listen and go back and read this and study it for yourself, I encourage you to do that. Chapter number 4, verse number 25, the Word of God says, "He is handed over to death because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. He was a substitute penalty for death, but through his death, and because he raised him from the dead, he accepted his death as the payment in full." Amen. I have one more scripture here to talk about the death of Christ. We'll go to 1 Peter 3:18. As I'm turning, you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and we're talking about tonight what the gospel is, part number 2. And we're going to First Peter. Hold on, I got an old-fashioned paper Bible here, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Oh, man, I haven't time with this paper here. It's not moving like it should, but amen. But anyway, I just want to encourage you. Continue to live a life according to God and use His Word. Study His Word. First Peter number 3, chapter 18. The Word of God says, Jesus suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but He died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but He was raised to life by the Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, the same Spirit that is spoken of in Genesis 1 that hovered over the earth and created all things from the beginning. Again, we have to remember the God we're talking about is a God that created everything from nothing, from the power of His spoke of His word, by His speaking it, let it be, let there be light. I'm going to leave that right there, but I just want you to understand, this is the God that we serve, this is what the God we believe, and what the Bible teaches. Amen? And now we know through Him we have eternal life. Let's go to John 17 and 3. John 17 and 3. John 17 and 3. Amen? Because we know through him, we have eternal life. Again, this is eternally. It's not about our physical bodies, because these bodies are going to die. These bodies, we reach a point with these bodies where we are at our peak physical development stage, and then after that, everything from there is downhill deterioration. We try to do a lot of things to try and fix it up and think we're extending our lives, but these bodies were made to die, was made to go the way of the dirt and the dust, return to where they came. Amen? So we're going to 17. John chapter 17, verse number 3. And the Word of God says, and this is the way to have eternal life, And this is the way to have eternal life. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. To know God and to know Jesus Christ. This is what we pray. This is what we live, because we know who God is and we know who Christ is. We know why Christ was born, why Christ was created. The same baby that we celebrate on Christmas, the same baby is the baby that was killed and grown to be a man 30 years later, and that we celebrate the resurrection or Easter Sunday on. That's what those holidays are about. That's why we have Christmas, for generations. We all celebrate Christmas. I know sometime in this culture and in different places, we lose the real purpose behind Christmas, but that's celebrating God sending His Son to be the Savior for all of mankind. And that's what we're celebrating. Through all the cultural things, all the dressings, the trees and lights and all that. But sometimes we forget that is what we're celebrating, that God sent His plan of salvation into action in that baby that was born in a manger. And then as we move forward to the spring, every Easter, we celebrate His death. Because His birth is one thing, but that baby that was born to die for your sins, to die for your wrongdoing, to die for the bad decisions, for all the sin you've committed, and even for the sins of those before you, the sins of your grandmother, your grandfather, your parents. He came to die for the sins of all mankind. So that baby that we celebrate on Christmas and we have the manger scenes that you may see around, there's a reason that holiday sticks. And hopefully those opportunities that you will hear the true gospel and why that baby was, it's more than about presents, but it's about that gift that God has given, because that was God's perfect gift, His perfect Son. Amen? And by His resurrection, death is defeated. Going to John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. And again, I always encourage you to write it down, to go back, to study it, and to read and search it for yourselves. And for those of you non-Christians and non-believers, and you have Christian friends, I encourage you to ask them. Just ask them the question. Give them opportunity to talk to someone face-to-face, eye-to-eye, about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, but when you ask, it's up to you to hear the response. Because it's one thing I learned a long time ago as a man of God. It's some folk ask, you have to be able to judge and understand that some people are asking because they don't know. Because I tell Christians all the time in evangelism, we can't assume people know the gospel. We can't assume they know who Jesus is, because there's so much, I call it noise out there. There's almost so much stuff that distracts people from the true and pure gospel. But if you would ask your Christian friends, if you go to a Bible study, I have a different opinion about it, Because if this is a thing that's life and death to me, I want to be able to study and ask you questions and have the questions that are in my heart and mind answered. And I believe Bible studies are that place. Sunday service, Sunday sermons is one thing. I'm a good teacher and a good person, but then everyone doesn't hear and everyone doesn't receive at the same level or have the same understanding. But at Bible study, in most churches that I know and most pastors that I know, Bible study is the place where you can come and ask, have your questions answered. And even if you, and for those unbelievers out there, you know, if you think every Christian has all the answers, that's not true. That's why we have the scripture. That's why we study. But if you look really truly seek an answer, you know, most of them, you know, when people ask me things that I don't know off the top of my head or it doesn't come back to my memory, I say I'll study it and I'll get back to you and I'll give you foundational word of God about the question you ask. And that's where, you know, it's not about how smart I am, but it's about if I can get you the right information from the word of God that you'll understand for your understanding. Amen. Amen. So we are at John chapter number 11, and we talk about the resurrection. That death is defeated in the resurrection of Christ. John chapter 11, verse number 25. And the word says, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. That's Jesus. There's something about Jesus. When Jesus speaks, even Jesus was a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord, he's God, he's the Son of God. There's only three choices. You know, that's the old thing. Either you believe Jesus or you not, or you don't. If you don't believe him, there's consequences for that. And if you do believe him, then why not become a Christian? Why not believe that he is Lord? The things he says is true. Because the word of God for the Christian, for the believing Christian, all of the word of God is true. We believe it, and our lives are based on it and shaped by it. Amen. It's a free gift. Salvation, saved from the wrath of God, is a free gift. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 2. For those who were here in the beginning of the show, you realize that that was the scripture that we were in our intro. But I want to just share with the audience today. We're going to Ephesians chapter number 2. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8 p.m., and every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Talking about the issues that affect men's lives as they're called to be husbands, fathers, and sons, the things we struggle with, the things that we had to overcome, and to encourage one another. That's why here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we always encourage men's ministry, men's groups, a gathering of men where men can encourage one another, seek wisdom from one another, and build those bonds, those brotherly bonds, because no man is meant to be alone. No man is a long ranger. And in this faith, in the body of Christ, we're called to encourage one another, to edify one another. But we have to be able to build those relationships past the superficial, those relationships where we're praying for each other, we're praying generally and specifically, because we all need someone to pray for the things that we're going through, that we might be able to sustain it, that we might learn from it. Because, again, this Christian walk is not a thing that once we get saved and give our life to Christ, everything's going to be easy. We just go into church and we're dressing up and we're looking good and everything as well. Life is coming at you. Life is coming at us. We're dealing with life. For my unbelievers, unbelieving non-Christians who are listening tonight, the things that you go through, we go through and deal with. We have troubles in our marriages. We have troubles with our children. We have troubles with our finances. We have trouble with our bills. But yet, it's how we respond to the things of life. You know, how do we respond to disagreements in our family? How do we respond when I'm getting along with my spouse or me and my spouse have a disagreement? What things do I say? Do I pray? Do I stop? Do I look to the Word of God for an answer? And that's one of the things that I believe a lot of non-Christians and unbelievers don't realize. Every aspect of everything that happens in our lives, the answer is in the Word of God. Are we willing to be obedient? Because that's one of the things that Christ calls us. When we call Him Lord, that means we're going to be obedient to His Word and what He teaches. And for us to understand that, we must be able to study the Word. It's like anything else. I like to always bring into the remembrance of folk, you want a job, you're trained how to do a job, you go to technical school, we go to college for master's degrees and bachelor's degrees and PhD. We're willing to submit ourselves to that teaching to achieve a goal. But somehow, when it comes to Christianity, no one wants to submit until a teaching and understanding, because our goal is to know God and live a life that is pleasing to Him. Because that's what we're called to be. Again, we're not called to be perfect. we're called to grow in maturity. So how much time are you willing to spend to be pleasing, to know who you are, to know who you are in Christ, and know who God is in your life? Amen? And for every man, you have to choose what kind of father you want to be, what kind of husband you can be, what kind of brother, what kind of son, what kind of friend, what kind of person in your community are you? Are you an example or are you a hindrance? So we have to always, you know, these are the things that we look at as Christian men. We always consider our ways, what we say, what we do, where we are, and how we respond to the challenges of life. Amen. So the free gift, Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 8. The word of God says, God saved you by his grace. When you believe, and you can't take credit for this, for it is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you have done, so none of us can boast about it. But we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he's planned for us long ago. Again, the scripture, word of God says that God has known every man, woman, and child before at the creation of the world. We have to understand who God is. He's a sovereign God. He's all-knowing. He's just. He's loving. And he's all-knowing. And he's everywhere at all times. But he's this free gift of salvation. There's nothing you can do to earn it. Anyone who tells you you have to do this and this to be saved, or that and that to please God, I don't want to get tied down to dogmatic, but I just want you to understand that through Scripture, if you read, this is why you must read Scripture and understand what it means to be a Christian and what faith is. Your faith is based on that the salvation is a free gift. You just have to accept it, accept who Jesus Christ is, accept and know who God is. Know what you believe and know why you believe it, and your salvation is secure. Amen? You can never deserve it, no matter what you do, no matter what you try to do. You cannot earn the salvation. I think that's the biggest thing we have to understand as people of God. It's not about if you wear a shirt, a tie, a jacket, a dress, you covered up, you got long dress, no earrings, no makeup. There's a lot of things out there that folk try to put on a lot of folk, because Christianity is bigger than culture. Because fashion and all these other things. So what's on the inside? God is going to want to change your heart. And when he changes your heart, your outward appearance, your outward activities, your outward thinking will change. Again, because our hearts and minds, we're not puppets or becoming in line to what the Word of God teaches. And that's the thing I think we forget. When we talk to unbelievers, it's a teaching, and you believe it or you don't. And you are obedient to the things of God or you're not. It's as simple as that. Let's go to Galatians. Chapter number 2, verse number 16. And the Word of God says, yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law, and we have believed in Jesus Christ, so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law, for no one has ever been made right within God by obeying the law. It's not obeying the law. The Ten Commandments, I'll say this to my unbelievers and my non-Christians. You look at the Ten Commandments, that's telling you how far we are from God. That's that simple. He's setting the parameter. He's setting the bar. And honestly, if you look at that, if you look at the Ten Commandments, we cannot achieve them in our own self. The only one who's able to achieve and fulfill all the Ten Commandments and all the laws that are written in the Old Testament was Jesus Christ, because he was perfect and obedient. We could never do them. You could never do them. You know, just keep it there. Again, for the unbeliever, look at the Ten Commandments in the book of Exodus, in the Old Testament, and I bet you couldn't get through three of them to realize that you violated them. And the Word of God teaches if you violated one, you violated them all. And you are deserving of the wrath of God and punishment. Amen? Amen. So it's a free gift. Just by accepting Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 13. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 13. Amen. Again, we're talking about accepting the free gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's not something you can earn. We all know we go to work, we get paid, we earn a salary, we earn a paycheck. But this gift of salvation is free. So all you have to do is accept it. If someone offers you something, can you just say thank you and just appreciate the free gift? And that's what all God wants from you. He sent his son, his son has died for you. You just have to accept the free gift, accept by faith that Jesus Christ paid the price for your sin. I'm going to 10, chapter number. Matter of fact, I'm going to start chapter number 9. Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is not by confessing with your mouth, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Amen? You have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And a deeper understanding of that, then you start to live a life obedient to him. You start to live a life. You start to live a life as a Christian. It's your life change. You start to think different. You see the world different. You make different decisions. The things that you do start to change. Again, we talk about a heart change. When we talk about a heart change, we're talking about how we see, how we think, and what we believe, and how we start to live. And the choices we make start to change because they start to line up with the Word of God. And so some of that is a supernatural. It's called submitting to the Holy Spirit, which is also another doctrine. But that comes along again. That can be a whole nother. I could do a whole nother show, hour in that teaching about the Holy Spirit and how it affects our lives as Christians. But it's by faith. We have to begin. I just wanted to be able to share the gospel and get you to a point where you can read the Word of God, study for yourself, and then just know that God loves you and God has a plan for our lives. Amen. Your sins will be forgiven and forgotten. All your sins, your past sins. I don't care what it was. I don't care if you stole. I don't care if you were a hooker, a drug dealer, a drug addict, you stole, you robbed, you lied, you womanized, whatever sin. Pick a sin. Pick any sin thing you think is a sin and the sins that God called out. But these sins are forgiven because Christ paid the price for them. That's the thing we have to understand. It's not about perfection. It's about maturity. Because even when you give your life and profess to be a Christian, you come to the point where you're not living a sinful, disobedient life. Let me say this about sin. I'm going to give it broad because I'm not going to go into a theological teaching, but sin is being disobedient and rebellious against God. It's something I said in the opening statement. It's disobedience and rebellion against God and what God wants for us as human beings is for mankind. For all humanity, God has set a purpose and a goal for our lives. Remember, you remember Adam. I know everybody knows about Adam and Eve. Why did Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden? Because of disobedience. And that's what we are. Our sin is our disobedience to God. But all that can be forgiven because Jesus Christ paid the price for our disobedience, for all the sins, and for all the things we've done, the things we've thought, and all the things the sins that we've committed, and the sins that we're going to commit. Because even the stuff we know, even as Christian men and women today, as me, myself, I might fall short, but Christ paid for that, the thing I might commit tomorrow. I might slip, I might do something, but I know if I repent, if I confess my sin to Christ, he will heal, I am redeemed, and it is forgiven. Let's go to Psalms. Psalm 103, verse number 12. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Now, for my intelligent folk, for my thinkers out there, how far is from the east to the west? Separate our sins. The death of Christ has separated us, that our sins are nowhere near us. Our sins are forgiven and they're forgotten. They're forgotten as far as the east is the west. Amen. One more we have here. We will be reconciled to God. Second Corinthians, we're going back to the New Testament. Second Corinthians, chapter number five, verse 18. And the word there says, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Again, we are called to be reconciled back to God. Through Christ Jesus, we're reconciled. We're made right. We're connected back. It's like your family members, or you have a fight with your spouse, or you have a disagreement with someone, it's your best friend. Then you reconcile, you forgive, you'll figure out what went wrong, and then you accept it back, and the relationship is back the way like it never happened. And that's what God is doing with us. That's what God's plan for all mankind, is to reconcile him back to God. And the whole purpose for all the gospel message is that we would live forever with God in heaven. Heaven is the place. Heaven is where God lives. Heaven is where Jesus is now interceding for us, speaking on our behalf. Whenever we do something wrong, as a believer, when we fall short, God, Jesus Christ, is interceding to the Father for us. And also for the unbeliever and the non-Christian, God is interceding on your behalf, because he's wanting you. He's giving you opportunity. He's taking this radio show. He's taking the Christian friends you know to give you opportunity to come and understand him. Because, again, we're all going to stand before Jesus Christ, and we're going to be judged for the life we live and the choices we make. And if you listen to this show and this program tonight, you know that you heard something that hopefully will spur your spirit, that would get you to thinking, that you'll read the scripture, that you'll come to an understanding, that you would have the desire to know more. This is Issues Christian Man talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I encourage you, go on our Facebook page, inbox me if you're looking for a church in your area. I know some pastors who have multiple churches in different cities, wherever you are in the country. But even where you are, there's a church there. You just have to be able to go, show yourself friendly, and start to ask the questions. You'll realize it's a process. It's a process that once you seek the knowledge and you seek the understanding, God will make a way that you will get what you're seeking after, that you'll come to a point where you understand him, and then you'll know what it means and what you have to do to be saved. Because it's by faith, and faith comes with knowledge, and it comes with hearing and studying of the word. Amen. Tonight I'm closing. We're going to go to John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5, verse 24. And the word of God says, I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God, who sent me, have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they will already pass from death to life. You're passing from death to life. Once you accept Christ, you're passing from death to life. And this is not about living in this physical realm in these bodies. This is about eternal life with our spirits. Because the Bible teaches that every man's going to die once. But there's a resurrection. They're going to live eternally. And you're going to live eternally somewhere. You've been separated from God for punishment for your sins in hell, along with the devil. And for those of my non-Christians and my non-believers, the devil's not in running hell. That's a prison for him. So you're going to be right alongside the devil in prison. It's not about the devil. He's living for the devil. The devil doesn't own nothing. The devil doesn't create anything. The devil doesn't, you know, he's destined to a retirement. Right now, for my brothers, people out there, consider the devil on probation. He's already been sentenced, and he's waiting for the sentencing hearing. I'll make it as simple as that. He knows where he's going. He wants as many as God creation, human beings, to go with him. And this is what's going on in the world today, but we all going to stand before him. So I encourage you today. Hopefully something tonight was heard, something to encourage you. I pray that you will continue to be, that you will continue to seek God. Again, if this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk, if you have any questions, you can always go to Facebook. You can inbox me on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can hit me on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk. And we can engage in conversation. Or you can always call in. Again, we're live every Monday at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8 p.m., and every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. So I encourage you to seek God, seek his word. Again, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to the rebroadcast of the show. Get your paper, your pencil, write down some of the scriptures, get your Bible, and study the word. Study the word for ourselves. Because I can never say it more. Every man, woman, and child is going to stand before God. They're going to stand before God and be judged for their life and their life choices. And for the Christian, we're going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your place of reward, and which is heaven, and live eternally with God and with Jesus Christ. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I pray all is well in your life. I pray a blessing over you and your family. And continue to push. For my brothers and sisters in Christ, be encouraged, be faithful, and live a life that edifies the body and glorifies God. God bless you, and good night.
have seen the victory of Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to Jesus. I have seen the victory of Jesus. Glory be to God. Amen.
Look with us now.
When I look to my right, I see Jesus has conquered. When I look to my left, I see Jesus has conquered. When I look to my front, I see Jesus has conquered. When I look to my back, I see Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah.